The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on April 1st, 1999 in Sridhar Mayapur in India. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 5, Verse 42 and 43.
Although I live in household life with my wife and children, I honestly follow the Vedic injunctions by engaging in fruitive activities to enjoy life without sinful reactions. I have performed all kinds of yajnas, including the Deva Yajna, Rishi Yajna, Pitri Yajna, and Ri Yajna. Because these yajnas are called vratas or vows, I am known as a Griha Vrata. Unfortunately, you have given me great displeasure by misguiding my sons for no reason to the path of renunciation. This can be tolerated once. Purport. Prajapati Daksha, what by Srila Prabhupada? Prajapati Daksha wanted to prove that he had been most tolerant in not having said anything when Narada Muni for no reason induced his 10,000 innocent sons to adopt the path of renunciation. Sometimes householders are accused of being Grihamedis, for Grihamedis are satisfied with family life without spiritual advancement. Grihasthas, however, are different because although Grihasthas live in householder life with their wives and children, they are eager for spiritual advancement. Wanting to prove that he had been magnanimous to Narada Muni, Prajapati Daksha stressed that when Narada had misled his first sons, Daksha had taken no action. He had been kind and tolerant. He was aggrieved, however, because Narada Muni had misled his sons for a second time. Therefore, he wanted to prove that Narada Muni, although dressed like a sadhu, was not actually a sadhu. He himself, although a householder, was a greater sadhu than Narada Muni. Text 43. Kantu krintana yannas tvam abhadram acharapuna tasma lokeshu te mudha na bhaved brahmata padam. You have made me lose my sons once, and now you have again done the same inauspicious thing. Therefore you are a rascal who does not know how to behave toward others. You may travel all over the universe, but I curse you to have no residence anywhere. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Because Prajapati Daksha was a Grihamedi who wanted to remain in household life, he thought that if Narada Muni could not remain in one place but had to travel all over the world, that would be a great punishment for him. Actually, however, such a punishment is a boon for our preacher. A preacher is known as Parirajaka Acharya, an Acharya, or a teacher who always travels for the benefit of human society. Prajapati Daksha cursed Narada Muni by saying that although he had the facility to travel all over the universe, he would never be able to stay in one place. In the Parampara system from Narada Muni, I have also been cursed. Although I have many centers that would be suitable places of residence, I cannot stay anywhere, for I have been cursed by the parents of my young disciples. Since the Krishna consciousness movement was started, I have traveled all over the world 2 or 3 times a year. And although I am provided comfortable places to stay wherever I go, I cannot stay anywhere for more than 3 days or a week. I do not mind this curse by the parents of my disciples, but now it is necessary that I stay in one place to finish another task, this translation of Srimad Bhagavatam. If my young disciples especially those who have taken sannyasa, take charge of traveling all over the world. It may be possible for me to transfer the curse of the parents to these young preachers. Then I may sit down conveniently in one place for the work of translation. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport of the 5th canto, 5th chapter, 42nd and 43rd verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the matter of Narada Muni cursed by Prajapati Daksha. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. I could not resist skipping ahead to the next verse. I must admit my weakness. Since it is very much relevant to my own experience. First we see how Prajapati Daksha is seeing things from his own perspective. This is quite common. There's a saying in Sanskrit, Atmanam Manyate Jagat. As I think everybody thinks, the whole world thinks. We tend to judge others by our own way of thinking and seeing things. So, Daksha was in a particular mental frame. He was seeing things from his point of view. He was not able to appreciate the point of view of Narada Muni. And therefore, first of all, he states, at once you took all my sons and made them sadhus or renounced. I tolerated that. It's not that I'm of some materialistic householder. I'm doing all kinds of ratas and satkarmas and punya activities. So actually I'm a very spiritual person. But this is too much. You went over the limit. Twice now, you've taken all my children into the renounced order. Probably parents that have one or two children, they have some understanding of this sentiment, but I don't know if anybody can imagine what it's like to have 10,000 children or 20,000 children and have all of them take sannyas. It's a lot of effort in making children. And if you have got the desire that the children carry on with their family life, or if you'll see everything from the perspective of Daksha, then it becomes very difficult to understand. Of course, Daksha's perspective is not, according to Srila Prabhupada in verse 41, very accurate. Prabhupada doesn't accept his logic that one has to, first of all, suffer. As was explained by Daksha previously, material enjoyment is indeed the cause of all unhappiness, but one cannot give it up unless one has personally experienced how much suffering it is. Therefore, one should be allowed to remain in so-called material enjoyment while simultaneously advancing in knowledge to experience the misery of this false material happiness. Then without help from others, one will find material enjoyment detestable. Those whose minds are changed by others do not become as renounced as those who have personal experience. But Prabhupada, his personal instruction to us was that under the circumstances, unless one gets association of a devotee like Narada Muni or his servant in the disciplic succession, one's dormant spirit of renunciation cannot be awakened. It is not a fact that because material enjoyment involves so many painful conditions, one will automatically become detached. One needs the blessings of a devotee like Narada Muni. Then one can renounce his attachment for the material world. The young boys and girls of the Krishna consciousness movement have given up the spirit of material enjoyment, not because of practice, but by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his servants. Jai Radha Madhava, Shri Sakhi Vrinda Ki. Srila Prabhupada was explaining at the Kumbh Mela, I told this story a few times, how to be fixed in devotional service means, signifies that one has already crossed over all of the preliminary stages of vratas and punyas and good births and austerities and penances and so many other pious activities. But then, one devotee asked Prabhupada that, you see, in my life, I can't remember having done any pious activity, any vratas, anything austere in my whole life. What I can't understand is how is it possible that I am today in devotional service? It's inconceivable to me. It's hard for me to understand what you're saying, Srila Prabhupada. And then Srila Prabhupada, he replied, yes, I have made your good fortune for you. That just like one can get an honorary degree from a university, in India it's quite common that some chief ministers or prime minister gets invited to some big university and gets an honorary degree of political science. Because they went to the school of hard knocks and became a prime minister or something. They didn't go to school that much, but somehow they got honorary degree. So, whatever it might be, we know that there's three ways of perfection. There's the sadhana siddhi, there's the nitya siddha, and there's the Kripa Siddhi. Narada Muni appeared in this world as son of Brahma. He was already a liberated soul. He was already a Nitya Siddha. You can say that in his previous life, he took the Mahaprasad remnants from the plate of the Bhaktivedantas, and by the special mercy of the Bhaktivedantas, he became a Kripa Siddhi. Are there many other examples where devotees have got the special mercy? And then there are devotees who have performed their sadhana very carefully, and in this way they systematically progressed in devotional service. And we can see that Srila Prabhupada, traveling around the world, he was giving his association and he was giving his blessings to so many devotees. And as a result, very quickly they were able to advance. It's a very good instruction. If anybody is able to advance quickly in their devotional service, to remain in a humble state of mind, and to recognize or consider how all the advancement was made by the mercy of the spiritual master. Even though Prahlad Maharaj was performing his sadhana carefully, when he was realized the Lord Narasingadeva, and Narasingadeva offered him all the blessings, his response was that I have this been able to see you by the mercy of my guru. And therefore, how can I forget him at this time? I want to continue to serve my spiritual master, since by doing so, I have been able to achieve your association. Narada Muni, he was traveling all over the world, all the universe, giving people mercy. And Srila Prabhupada was traveling all over the world. Narada Muni was cursed by Daksha to travel and not have any fixed place of residence. So Srila Prabhupada in verse 43, he states that in the Parampara, he also was cursed by his disciples, young disciples' parents. Surely there are many parents of the young devotees who joined the Krishna conscious movement who were not satisfied that their children gave up their materialistic activities and engaged in devotional service. So Prabhupada, he considered that their dissatisfaction had this effect of a curse on him. He was also not able to stop anywhere for very long. As he said here, 3 days to a week. Srila Prabhupada told this not only in his books, but on various occasions in his conversations with his disciples. He mentioned this point. He also said that in the holy dham, curses don't take effect. So Narada Muni, if he wanted to stay anywhere, he could stay in Vrindavan or Mayapur, anywhere else outside of the dhams, he would be compelled to keep on traveling. So sometime Prabhupada would come here to Mayapur and spend a month or 6 weeks and translate. Then we would have the opportunity of serving his lotus feet while he was here. Regularly he would stay at least 2 weeks or 3 weeks. How many of you would like to be able to serve Srila Prabhupada for 6 weeks in Mayapur Dham? So Jananivas, Pankajangri, they got that opportunity. Subhak Swami, I don't want to call whatever I offered Srila Prabhupada as service. It was probably a disservice, but I was trying to do something for his divine grace. And Prabhupada, he was also mentioning that once he left the Dham, he would have to go on traveling. In Vrindavan, Prabhupada settled down. But he wanted to transfer that curse. On two occasions he told me that now my sannyasis have to take the curse, now I'm not going to be able to travel anymore. So now you have to take this curse and travel. So whenever I leave the dham, and the curse takes effect, I'm safe here, right? People get on my case, why do you travel? What can I do? I'm cursed. You know what it's like to be cursed? Who can overcome the brahmana's curse? Very powerful. So, devotees shouldn't get upset if they see sometimes the sannyasi gurus are traveling as part of the parampara system. It was also an interesting point here. Today, the court case came up in Calcutta that the Adi Dharan and Satvik and others have put to say that the parampara, Diksha Parampara will stop at Prabhupada. But the case was adjourned for today and will continue. So if you want to still make any prayers to Narsingadev to save us from this other curse of having to spend time and money on a court case. The Prabhupada, he said, court cases are throwing good money after bad. That judges have got no jurisdiction to decide who's a guru, who's an acharya, who's not an acharya. So it's quite amazing that such formerly dedicated disciples of Prabhupada and followers of Prabhupada are taking shelter of a court to make such a decision. We got the news that, anyway, judge looked a little sleepy yesterday. It's kind of sad that such a thing is happening. But reading this verse, this morning I had to write something for that. They asked me to write something quick and send it off, so I was performing another kind of Mangalarti, which I don't prefer. And I was just thinking here how, like Prabhupada is saying, the Parampara system, the curse, is handed down. So whether, like the curse of traveling, Prabhupada here is saying that now my young disciples, they had to take the, especially the sannyasi, they take the curse and continue with it. So Prabhupada here, he very clearly has this idea about Parampara system, that from one to the next, different things are handed down. So here Prabhupada is saying also that even the curse of traveling is handed to the next generation. It's very obvious that Prabhupada, throughout all his writings, throughout all his teachings, he always had this vision of one generation after another. There's nowhere that Srila Prabhupada had ever said that I will be the last Diksha Guru in ISKCON. Or that everywhere he's saying that in the future, the law of the super succession, he personally told me on two occasions, also, apart from countless other places, all the Rikshiks have counted it down and said that, oh, there's only 22 places he said it, you know. Depending on what you consider instruction. That the Parampara system, that he wanted his disciples in the future to continue to make more disciples. And that's what his desire was. Of course, then they said, that's his desire, but he never ordered. Although nowhere did Prabhupada ever, he looked in folio, wherever did Prabhupada say, I order you to do anything. He never did that. He never said, I order you. Rather, he said, my Gurudev asked me to preach in Western countries, and I have taken up his order as my life and soul. The Guru tells you to do something. It's not like the Guru is normally has to say, I hereby order thou to, you know, chant your 16 rounds. Prabhupada would say, please chant your 16 rounds, be careful, avoid breaking the six, you know, four regular principles. That's the Guru's order. Your wish is my command. Right? It's like he told us, don't fight, only imitate the Gaudiya Mata and fight in court. When he was invited to go to court by his godbrothers, and join that case to get the birthplace back, then he said, no, I don't want to fight over sticks and bricks and all these things. We can make another one. We can preach another. We can preach or build a bigger facility than what they have. And already we have a much bigger facility than the Gaudiya Mata. So I was writing a letter this morning proposing, if you want to fight, let's fight preaching, not fight in the court. Waste the energy. We don't want to follow the parampara of Gaudiya Mata court cases. We want to follow Prabhupada's parampara of preaching. So in any case, Prabhupada here was saying he wanted his disciples to take up the responsibility. In other words, just as Prabhupada is saying he handed down as a curse, but also the Guru hands down to the next generation the legacy and the responsibility to carry on the Guru Parampara. Not only Diksha, or Siksha, training, preaching, the whole mood that Prabhupada wanted. He said, I built the house of Krishna consciousness, I built the structure, but it still has to be filled in. Just like here in Mayapur, where many times we see we build a concrete structure. We had to put in the walls, put in the windows, put in the sinks and the showers, and then finally there's the furniture. And so there's enough work for a few generations yet. Prabhupada said, I built the structure, I built like the framework. He never said he did everything there was to be done. He never said, I've given you a complete package. He said there's so much more to be done. Unfortunately, sometimes we've seen that in the absence of an expert engineer, like in my airport, sometimes it happened where the contractor, he was building, and where there was supposed to be a door, he built a wall. He built a room with no door. You know, he said, what did you do? Oh, I misread the plan. And then he had to break down the wall and then put a door in there. So maybe that somewhere devotees have not carefully followed what Srila Prabhupada wanted and misbuilt the part of the structure. You see, of course, not on major issues like Prabhupada wanted that to be a Guru Parampara. There's no indication anywhere that Prabhupada didn't want Guru Parampara to continue. But definitely in the way that we've applied things, or the way that mistakes are made in Gurukul, or mistakes are made in the way husband and wife sometimes deal with each other, or mistakes in why people took sannyas when maybe they shouldn't have taken, or whatever it might be, could read 1,001 mistakes. Whatever it is, we need to go on building on our strength. There's many things that we're doing right, like distributing books, like congregational preaching, and avoid all the mistakes, correct the errors, and build on our strengths. One of the points, actually this morning, usually I read the Puranas and the Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita before I give class. This morning, before I gave class, I was reading legal briefs. And one of the points was that ISKCON, after Prabhupada left, because of the Guru Parampara system, has disintegrated. And I couldn't help but respond to that. I mean, that's the most ridiculous thing. You know, no doubt there were mistakes made, and people didn't always fulfill or carry out all the duties that Prabhupada wanted them to do religiously or faithfully. But to say that ISKCON is disintegrated when Prabhupada left with 108 temples and maybe a devotee population in the tens of thousands at the most, and now we have got, you know, hundreds of thousands of devotees, or well over 500,000 to 1,000,000 devotees in our congregation, or more than that. For the tax purposes, they've declared about 500,000, which means that, you know, usually when you declare your tax returns, you give the minimum. So what to speak of how many followers we have are really in the millions. We went up from 108 temples to over 400. I mean, it's a 3-time increase. You know, so many different things have been happening. The number of books that have been distributed have also increased multifold. In every area of our spiritual activity, there has been certain distinct preaching progresses. The devotees have not, like, just not done anything to push forward this Krishna conscious movement. But, you know, some judge who knows nothing about Krishna conscious movement, who just for the first time getting to know us, he's being told that ISKCON is disintegrated. And we got to go there and tell him, you know, it's not a fact. This is how we're supposed to spend our time, telling some judge, you know, things which the whole world can see, that Krishna consciousness is expanding all over, in spite of the failings of individuals. So anyway, getting back here to the Bhagavatam sloka, Prabhupada really wanted us to carry on his mission. That's the message I get. He wanted to ensure that we had a clear understanding of what Krishna consciousness was. That it would be enough to take us well through the entire 10,000 years of the Kali Yuga. He also told disciples to translate certain Saptic Puranas, Sharasandarvas, in the future if somebody became qualified, and many other works of our previous acharyas, to also form a resource, especially for those who are studying there. Bhaktivedanta and Vaishnava, that Sarvabhauma degree, Bhakti Sarvabhauma. You see, but first of all, we need to really thoroughly imbibe what are all the teachings of Prabhupada. Reading all of his books, studying them, applying them, carrying on. I often, in previous years, being here alone in Mayapur with just a handful of devotees, surrounded by Gaudiya Mathas, who seemed at that time much more powerful than we were with our grass hut. They had the big temples, they had the big parikramas. And then I was just meditating on this situation, that how Prabhupada had taken seriously the order of his spiritual master and brought Krishna consciousness to the West. What would have happened if he hadn't done that? What if he had just entered into the court case with the others and sat here fighting it out in India and didn't go to the West and carry out the order of his guru? Where would we be? What would have happened? What would have happened to all of us without Prabhupada having taken on the order? He understood what his guru wanted. He got his orders from his spiritual master and then he did it. And that, I was thinking, what happens? Because like Prabhupada used to tell, that time we were always worrying about not Y2K, that was, you know, we were worrying about something much more intense and before our eyes was the possibility of a nuclear war between Russia and America. There was often that fear that any time the nuclear missiles may go in either direction. In those times we didn't know too much how many devotees we had in Russia, or maybe we didn't have so many then. We're just in the bud, just starting. But we were very concerned at what could happen in those days. That was a topic of discussion. Disciples would ask Prabhupada sometime. And so the thought came, what if? And the ashes of a nuclear holocaust. You're the only devotee left in a whole city with no more form of communication or transportation to anywhere else in the world. You've got your Bhagavad Gita and your Bhagavatam set somehow survived the nuclear holocaust and there you are. Krishna Devi Dasi or Radha Devi Dasi maybe. Could be a or so-and-so Gopal Das, or whoever it might be. I'm just saying some generic name, actually. I didn't mean, you know, anyone in specific. But it could any of us, whoever it might be. What would we do? Would we be able to carry on like Prabhupada did, the Krishna conscious movement, establish it in the ashes of this nuclear holocaust? Or maybe where five devotees survived, or three or two, whatever it might be. That was the kind of consciousness that we were being brought up in. That somehow or another, every one of us need to feel it our mission, even if we were the only one. And I would always be amazed at how, because I would hear from Prabhupada, he really felt like that, alone. That he saw all of his god brothers fighting in court and going around in India and nobody wanted to preach around the world. Nobody wanted to unify together under GBC. And all he could think of was, my guru wanted us to work together. My guru wanted us to preach all over the world. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sai Thakur wanted this, wanted book distribution. He didn't want all this fighting in courts. He didn't want this kind of parochial, limited vision of preaching, separate little Gaudiya Mata acharyaships. And sometimes Prabhupada was very heavy in his Vyas Puja offerings and his, you know, he was different poetry that he wrote. It was saying that this type of consciousness is Kanishtadikari. At least we should be Madhyamadikaris and go and preach all over the world. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sai Thakur said that if he could even have one Madhyamadikari, he'd consider his whole mission a success. So many heavy things Prabhupada was saying. And then I was here in Prabhupada, where first thing he got, when we got to land in Mayapur, then he sent us all out, go invite all my God brothers and the disciple brothers, no God brothers, the disciples of the God brothers who are head of the institution, come together to Mayapur. I want to receive all of them here. And then he had them all here the day we installed that Ananta Sesha in the ground, which was the foundation for the whole Mayapur project, which is still there in the ground, somewhere in the deer park. If you see anybody digging around the deer park, tell us immediately, we'll stop. I'm not going to tell anybody where it is. Better to stay a secret. And just there, it's there somewhere in the deer park. The deer park should forever remain a deer park, and the nobody should, or something, but people don't dig around it. You have to dig about 12 feet though, it's a deep pit. Prabhupada put the Ananta Sesha there, and he invited all of his God brothers and all of his God nephews who were now next generation of Acharyas, and he told every one of them, let us all work together. This is what Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted. Let us combine together, form a GBC, and work as one society. But nobody agreed. Everybody backed off. And then Prabhupada said, what can I do? And Prabhupada was talking, look, I got money, I got foreign disciples. If we work together, I'm giving all my resources to that common effort. I'll give you all your temples, foreign devotees, they can go on your preaching, you can have a white elephant on your stage when you're giving lecture. We can all work together. I didn't buy it. That's another story. But I kept continually saw how Prabhupada, against all odds, he really followed his principles. Sometimes people portray Prabhupada as like this renegade preacher that went off and did his old thing. It was nothing like that. He was pushed out. He was forced to be on his own. So he went on and preaching. As soon as he was in a position to start giving some, you know, of strength, the first thing he did is invite, let us all get together. And on a few occasions he also repeated that same message. And he set up ISKCON, that we don't fight with each other, that we work together, we have a GBC, and we continue to preach as one family. So every one of us, if we take up this mood that Prabhupada did, I mean, he was a householder when the whole thing broke apart in the Gaudiya Math. He was doing his Griha Dharma. He was preaching Namhad and Varatna from the home, doing a little preaching, printing books and things, mainly publishing books was his contribution. And as a householder, Vanaprasthi, he was setting up a kind of league of devotees and Jasi, which was a type of a Namhad program, and called the Bhagavat Sangha in Sanskrit. So Prabhupada, he was going on with his devotional service. He was avoiding all the fights and things. And in this way, he established a massive preaching all over the world. So even I suggested that if you want it, why don't you go off and then do your thing? They said, no, we want to do an ISKCON. But what they've done is filed a case that all Diksha Gurus must stop giving initiation. All disciples of second generation must be declared by the court to be disciples of Prabhupada and not disciples of their Guru. Now how many of you are going to accept if the High Court of Calcutta tells you that you're not disciple of your Guru? What is the meaning of it? What does it mean? Right? You know, it's like so absurd. Who's going to accept that? That judge, you know, so-and-so says that, who's my guru and who's not my guru? I know where my heart is. So, I mean, we're forced to fight, to defend. Because we can't, It's just so amazing a situation. Anyway, sorry for regressing back to that, but just that you understand, because, you know, what we're dealing with and why we are forced to defend ourselves. Bayram Prabhu and others are there in Calcutta today in this defense, I think. I've been asked to write things and help from the back here. But, in any case, if anything, it should really compel all of us to really understand what is it that Prabhupada wanted. So that in the future and future and future generations that will be coming, maybe now Krishna is showing so that crazy things like this don't happen in the future. Whatever, now have all the bad things happen now so we can deal with it, so that hopefully we can establish what the Prabhupada really wants, and then continue with that for the rest of the 10,000 years that Krishna consciousness is supposed to be in this planet, the Lord Chaitanya's movement. You never know whether what's going to happen in the world. There's so many movies going on now that what if an asteroid hits the planet and most everybody gets destroyed by asteroid hitting? It happened before, it could happen again. People are saying about, so many possible disastrous situations. And then some people say, no, nothing will happen. Yeah, maybe. Whether nothing happens, we should still know what Prabhupada wanted, and we should be prepared to spread Krishna consciousness in every opportunity we get in every town and village. And if some disaster happens and there's nothing left, much or much less left, but we're left, whoever one of us is left, whichever one of you is the remaining Krishna conscious devotee or remaining devotees, you should be prepared to continue on with the Krishna conscious movement. And even if there's no more connection with your guru, whether somebody's isolated in some whole continent and there's no one else around, then the standing order of Lord Chaitanya, Ama Agya Guru Hoya Tarali Desh, such people would have to probably also become Diksha Gurus and continue on the disciplic succession based on the standing order. And as there's more devotees, then they should also create governing body commission and do everything like Prabhupada. Practically he had to start from nothing. And as he built it up, he just built the architecture according to what he knew. His engineer, his spiritual master told how he wanted it. And then Prabhupada constructed it. And now we're kind of doing it, some of us will do the interior decoration. Although sometimes we make a mess of it. But we're supposed to do it properly and continue preserving the structure that Prabhupada gave us. Preserve the Guru Parampara system, preserve the whole system of preaching Krishna consciousness and practicing Krishna consciousness and avoiding Sajism and Mayavadism and any other kind of Maya that comes up. So every one of us should take, just like Prabhupada has asked his sannyasis to take the curse of traveling, and some of us are trying to do that sometimes. We don't have any choice, really. It's been handed down, so, you know, we're taking it on our heads. At least staying as a sannyasis and trying to carry out that instruction. But each one of us, whether we're disciples or grand disciples and the future great grand disciples, every one of us has got also so many responsibilities to fulfill what Prabhupada wanted. Here by the side of the Ganges, remember Baggi Maharaj and how his forefathers failed to liberate his father, grandfather, many generations failed to liberate the sons of Sagar Maharaj. And therefore, he finally was successful in convincing the Ganges to come down. So it's like that. I always saw that Prabhupada, he was successful amongst many and most effectively carrying out the instructions of his spiritual master. And that's why we call him as Prabhupada. Because he did something really distinctive, and we can see how it was handed down to him. So like that, every one of us has to, as followers and children and grandchildren, descendants of Prabhupada, we need to also imbibe that spirit that Prabhupada had, that no matter what, we're going to stick to our guns, we're going to stick to our principles of carrying out Prabhupada's instructions and keeping the Krishna consciousness movement united and presenting Prabhupada's teachings as they are. What to speak of such difficult times? We're talking about world holocaust, the last person left. Even when it's like a fair weather, things are not so bad. Good, a lot of devotees, temples, Mahaprasadam, deities, so many things. No big problem. Even then you find sometimes the devotees, they just slacken up on their vows, slacken up on their determination, take some little excuses or misunderstanding or something, and then jump ship, parachute out. And for us it's a big loss. We're really sad to see that. So here, being in Mayapur, it's quite a wonderful place to be. We like to do whatever we can here to do Prabhupada's instruction to make an ideal temple. When Prabhupada said ISKCON Mayapur is the world's spiritual headquarters, he would also say that he was establishing here Shaligram Shila worship so that there would be a standard how to worship Shaligram Shila and ISKCON. Started the worship here. In other words, whatever happened in Mayapur, Prabhupada considered it should be like a standard. And therefore he wanted us to be very careful that we made an ideal environment in Mayapur which would be a worthy example for the rest of the movement. So it's also a big responsibility in all the Mayapur Nivasis. And we hope we have the blessing and support for all the devotees around the world to help us in making and fulfilling this desire of Prabhupada to have Mayapur made as a ideal temple and ideal community. A very big responsibility. We had a better situation being in an Indian environment to preserve our culture, preserve our ethos, as it's called in academic circles. The ethos that Prabhupada has given us and preserved at great personal sacrifice. Could have stayed in Vrindavan and done his bhajan. To create the Krishna conscious movement with so many obstacles and challenges, and to not only create it, but create it according to the desires and instruction of the previous acharyas, and not sell out to other compromises, should be a source of inspiration and strength for every one of us. That we are so fortunate to be under the shelter of Srila Prabhupada as our founder acharya, as every one of our Siksha Gurus, of course his direct initiated disciples, Diksha Guru as well. We are also fortunate. So Prabhupada ki Itai go premanandi. Thank you very much. Any question? Yeah, Prabhu. No, not at all true. ISKCON has not filed any suit against him. In fact, when we met on the 22nd of February, Gopal Krishna Maharaj, myself, Saradanya, Bhakti Churu Maharaj, with Madhu Pandit, Satvik and Madhu and Adidan, we gave a two-page request with different reasons why, under any circumstances, we should never go to court over this issue. How a disgrace Prabhupada, waste our energy, this, that, the whole. I can give you the printout. It's so far the opposite. And at the end of all our discussions, the Madhu Pandit told that actually he had already filed a case in the Bangalore court because he wasn't sure that we were going to rescind the expulsion order on him, so he was trying to protect himself. We showed him the GBC vote, that the order was rescinded, would be in his hand in a day or two. He said, if I receive it, I would draw the case. We asked Audrey, did you make any court case? He said, no. He kind of looked funny, you know. He took a while to, he thought for a minute, he said, no. So we suspected that maybe he's got something in the tube. In India, none of the leaders want to fight this out in court. If we had to preach on the streets to people, you know, we prefer that, but we don't want to take it to a court, because the court system is just a can of worms, to say it. I don't know how else to say it. I hope it's not contempt of court, but contempt of the system, you know. So that's completely a false... I shouldn't reveal our strategy, but that was never our strategy to fight it out with them in court. I do other things, but not that. Yes?
I've been following my gurus in the past. I always thought that the Prabhupada disciples have to do a lot of all the mistakes they're going to be committed in the future, they're going to be committed now, because they're the representatives of Prabhupada. If in the future the same mistake happens, they don't have a real representative to see how Prabhupada really wants. And the only time that this comes in blocks is this. What's the problem? Raising problem is happening for beautiful because of the meetings. There's a lot of faith, at least from our in the Grand Disciple. We were 100 people in the two Grand Disciples from many different groups. We're so happy to have a problem disciples here in the ashram. We have no doubt that everything is going to be nice and clear.
You put a few prayers in. That everything can clear up. And that may be Prabhupada's desire to clear up all the confusions now. Some people say, what if this type of question happened 100 years from now and nobody, you know, all the eyewitnesses and all the people with the more experience weren't there to answer? It could create some bigger confusion. So, hard to say what Krishna's plan is, only he knows. He's playing on his flute and we are just dancing. We don't know what his plan, but definitely that should be all of our prayer, that whatever tests and challenges come up, we will be able to properly represent Srila Prabhupada and see that they are successfully resolved in such a way that in the future the path for devotee and future generations to practice Krishna consciousness will be smoother, will be more effective, be more quick progress, because the whole world is just burning. Like Prabhupada said, the world is burning. And he said that the way that, for instance, like the Ramakrishna mission was able to get headway after Bhaktisiddhanta, as long as the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was present, it really hadn't taken such a big headway. It was a little popular thing, but it hadn't taken off because he was preaching so strongly. But after his demise, physical demise, when his followers started to fight in the courts, then people just started getting a different vision about what Vaishnavism was, and it seemed that Ramakrishna was a better alternative. And so all the intellectual people didn't really consider Vaishnavism for a while, and they just thought that his jato-mat-tato-pat was the way to go. So Prabhupada, he was lamenting. But when the Vaishnavas fight with each other, instead of preaching, it gives the opportunity for upper sampradayas and asampradayas and others to come up. So we hope that we'll be able to do things in the way Prabhupada wanted. That we can preach our Krishna consciousness. In the most effective manner, and people will be able, right now people have a good impression in India more than ever before about the Krishna conscious movement. He said, just if it gets into a whole mudslinging in a full court battle, all the newspapers will grab it up. Be very ugly type of situation. I'm sure Kali is really hoping that this type of thing goes on. I hope that Krishna will bless that these are all the devotees with intelligence to understand that this is not the way to please Srila Prabhupada. And we can resolve whatever the misunderstandings are for the future generations in a more Krishna conscious way. But whatever it is, certainly we have to do whatever we can to clean house. I always remember the example how Madhavendra Puri's disciple Iswar Puri got a special blessing because he served his guru so faithfully, even cleaning up his stool.